You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
Ephesians 6 verse 17. Ephesians 6 verse 17. We are in a series called Air Force. We're talking about spiritual warfare. And while you're getting that, just to, we have an advertisement over the next few weeks. We've got some special speakers coming next week. We've got Pastor Jamil coming back. Amen. Hallelujah. No pledge. Amen. But we're going to have a good time. Praise God. Also, after that, we're going to have Pastor Io. We haven't had him for a long time. Amen. And so those of you that we've had him many times, but we're going to have him again. And then I think after that, it's probably Revival, Pastor Stacey Dillard. And so so the next 3 weeks, I want you to put everything, all of your energy, all of your brain power, everything into bringing someone to church. Yeah. Each one, bring one. Yeah. Each, look at someone and say, bring one. Everybody try to bring someone, because we're going to believe God over the next 3 weeks. We've got guest speakers coming in. We're going to listen. You do not want to miss the next 3 weeks. It's going to be powerful. This is not the time to just sit at home and drink Pepsi and eat crisps and watch whatever nonsense is on a Sunday. I don't know anymore. Crossroads, amen. You always like that when I say this. It's just, you're predictable, I'm predictable. Amen. God is good. So this is the last sermon in our series of Air Force. I pray that it's been a benefit, it's been a blessing, been an eye-opener, been empowering. And so I've enjoyed just going into the Word of God. And so just as a way of a recap, what we've looked at, the first two messages we looked at, because we're talking about spiritual warfare, we exposed that our enemy is not physical. How many remember that? We do not wrestle with flesh and blood. Your enemy is not your boss, your mom, your dad, your husband, your wife, that guy on the block, that whoever it is. Your enemy is not physical. You're fighting a physical enemy, not understanding there is a spiritual realm that is pulling the strings of those individuals. And you're fighting the physical. We also looked at that the weapons of our warfare are not physical. Meaning you're not going to win every battle just by arguing with people. Some people, that's all they do. They argue, they kick off. Listen, don't get me angry, you know. Yeah, you've been doing that. You did that with your boyfriend. You did that with your husband. You did that with your kids. You've done that with your boss. And where has it got you? Your kids can't, they despise you. Your husband left you. Your boss sacked you. Is that what you wanted? No. What we want is a productive life. We need to understand. Listen, it's insanity to keep doing the same thing and expect a different outcome. Let me repeat my... It's insanity to do the same thing and expect one day you'll produce a different outcome. If you don't like what your life's producing, look at what you're doing and change. And things will change. You've got to look at that. We looked at the armor. Remember we spoke about the belt of truth, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, the breastplate of righteousness. Last week we looked at the helmet of truth and the shield. And so we talked about our armor. I want to pose a little quiz, a question. You've got your feet. You've got your breastplate. You've got your belt. You've got your helmet of truth. You've got your shield. Which part of your back is not covered? Did I say which part of your back? Someone's done witchcraft for me, man. It's the back. Amen. No, you're wrong. You should have said all of it. You got me, man. The back. Think about it now. That's why you can't turn your back in the battle. That's why there's no turning back. That's why there's no running in the midst. When things get tough, the worst thing to do is to turn your back on the enemy. The best thing to do is let me just stick it out. Let me push through, because you've got no protection for the back. Hallelujah. You've got no protection for the back. And so protection is defense. But I want to say in war, you cannot just defend. Do you understand what we mean? You've got the shield. Someone's coming. They're battering you like this. They're going for you. You can't just keep defending. That's not warfare. You can't just stay in a corner and keep defending, because you will not take ground. What you need is an offense. There's defense. There's offense. Offense is the opposite. Offense is when you're moving forward. Offense is when you're taking ground. Offense is when you're pushing back your enemy. When your life is, when you look at things in your life, you look at things in your finances, you look at things in your marriage, you need an offense. You need to drive the enemy out. You need to drive him out. You need to say, no. This is my home. This is my life. These are my finances. This is my marriage. These are my kids. This is my body. This is my health. You're getting out, devil. Yeah. I'm pushing you out. Yeah. I'm not just here on the pushing. No. The Bible says that, you know what? It gives us a defense, gives us protection. But what I want to deal with today is offense. And many times, you know what they say? Is that a good offense is the best defense. Ephesians 6 verse 17, the Bible says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, having all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, we all put perseverance and supplication with all the saints. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your Holy Spirit. I pray for your presence. I pray that you come down in this place, do a supernatural work here. Father, I pray that all that we've heard over the last few weeks would not be lost, would not fall upon wayside ground, but Father, not fall upon hard ground, not fall upon the weeds, but Father, would fall upon good ground that would bear fruit 30, 40, 100 fold, whatever. Father, equip us that we can be successful in this campaign for you and in our lives. And all God's people said,
amen.
And all God's people said,
amen.
Hallelujah. And so look at someone and say, you need to be on the offense. When you say offense, you're going to say offense. Yeah, this is serious. We're not in the defense no more. I want to first, let me give you the breakdown of this message before I even go into the message. I'm going to speak about two offensive weapons. Two offensive weapons, not defensive. We spoke about the shield, we spoke about the armor. Two offensive weapons. And the two of those things, I'll let you know from the get-go, is the word of God and is prayer. Is the word of God. Say the word of God.
Word of God.
And prayer. These are the two things that we're going to speak about. Now, the Bible says that the word of God is like, he calls it the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. And so I wanted to get a sword. I didn't have time to get one. I didn't know where to get one. But so you're just going to have use your imagination today. But think about this now. When you look at a sword, to be in a sword fight is close combat. How many know that? It's different than a spear or an arrow. You could be way over there and I could just pull back my arrow, boof. But a sword is close. This is a battle which is close. This is me and you. Ting. How many ever seen that type of thing? Hopefully not personally. But you know what I'm talking about. This is a close battle. This is sword fighting. The sword is used for cutting through things, cutting off, stabbing. Ha! That's what the sword is used for, you know. It's a bit violent, but the sword is a weapon. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from its sight, but all things are naked and open in the eyes of him in whom we give an account. The Bible says here, the word of God is living, powerful, and sharper. It's again, we in a different part of the Bible, it's showing you the word of God. The analogy of the word of God is that when you're thinking about the word of God, it's like a sword. And so remember, we're talking about spiritual warfare. You have an enemy, I have an enemy. The devil has a strategy for your life. I'm not going to exhaust all of that, but he has a strategy for your life. Some of you, it's to be locked up in prison. There's some men in here, the devil wants to lock you up. Some women wants to lock you up in prison. And there are many people in prison today, you know why? Because the devil's will was done. They obeyed what he said. Yeah, go there, do that. Punch that person in the face. No, go steal that. And they got to where the devil wanted them. Some of you here, it's to be depressed. Some of you, it's to be on drugs. Some of you is to be in a dead-end relationship. Some of you is to be in a terrible marriage. Some of you is to be... The devil has a destiny and a plan that he wants to use to destroy all of us. If you want to destroy this destiny and destroy what the enemy is doing in your life, you've got to fight him in your life. And the Bible is saying that the word of God is like a sword. So think about this now. That's saying that the word of God can cut through. That when you need to break through some things and there are things in your life, the Bible says you can use the word of God to cut through some of these things. The word of God is able to enables you to cut off some things. How many know there's some things in our life we need to cut off? Amen. The word of God is what you need to cut off some of these things. Some things that we just need. Listen, there are some enemies in our life we just got to kill. You just got to stab that thing, man. I know this is violent, I know, but just bear with me. You just got to stab it. We're not talking about people. We've already established. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. No one leaving here with a ratchet or juke somebody. No. That's not what we're talking about. Spiritual warfare. There are some demons that have been tormenting you, tormenting your mum, tormenting your mum's mum. Your whole life. Some of you, woof. Juke him one time. Just a sword. That's what it is. Some generation curses. The Bible says that this sword is sharper. Doesn't matter what the enemy has. Doesn't matter what tactics he comes with. My sword is sharper than his. What you need to be able to do is cut through some lies. See, this is what it is. Let me say this to you today. There are lies that people have started to believe about themselves. The devil is lying about you. The devil has said, listen, you're no good and you'll never be any good. The devil has told you, you're worthless. You can't be used. You're a waste man. The devil is lying to you. And you need to, you believe some of those lies. I'm worthless. I'll never do any good. I can't make it. Listen, it's the devil's lying to you. You're no good of a Christian. You'll never be a Christian. Look how long you've been in this church and you still haven't really dealt with this or dealt with that. Yeah, God don't like you no more. God don't love you no more. You ain't like these people. These are lies. Lies. And listen, you go, oh, no, don't say that. Stop saying that. That's wicked. Why would you say that to me? And this is what people do. The devil doesn't care what you say to him. You need to pull out the sword. Excalibur. That's a lie. Use the word of God. God don't love me. That's a lie. I'm not going to make it. That's a lie. You need to listen. Sometimes people speak over you. Oh, how many times do I have people in church? Oh, pastor, this person said that to me. That person, my mom said I'm rubbish and useless. It's a lie. My ex-boyfriend says I'm no good. What kind of Christian are you? It's a lie. Why am I going to listen to a liar? No, the word of God says that I am beloved of God. The word of God says that Jesus died on the cross for me so I can make it. The word of God says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The word of God says greater is he that is in me than in the world. The word of God says God shall provide all of my needs according to his riches and glory. The word of God says, listen, that if I ask for him and I seek for him with all my heart, I will find him. The word of God says, listen, he will lead me beside still waters. The word of God says that I will be planted like a tree, and in due season I will bring forth much fruit. See, this is what I'm doing right now, is I'm swinging my sword because I have to cut through some of the lies that tells me, listen, you're no good, you're not good enough. This is what you have to understand, is that you have a sword. You have a sword. And if you don't use that sword, you're going to be, oh my days, wayladen with lies attacking you, biting you like mosquitoes. You know, like when you go to, you go to Jamaica, you go to Ghana, you get this. I went to Benin. I never got no bites in Benin, but in Ghana, I got some bites, man. And Jamaica as well. And you know when you've been bitten, man, because they just leave those little red marks. There's some of you, the devil is on you like that, man. Lies have bitten you. You're like scratching. disturbed about the your life because the enemy has bitten you with his lies. But it's not like one or two. Some people, their whole life, it's like they live in a nest of lies swarming in their mind. Way laden. This is how you go through life. A lie. Something in you, and from time to time, an inspirational thought. Why don't you go for that? Then the lies. Hey, sit back down. Get back in your place. That's not for you, you little tramp. How dare you think of that? That's for you. Get your eyes off that. Stay in your place. Live in your little place. These are lies. See, let me say this now. To use the sword. Sword fighting is very, you know, because I was putting this message together, I kind of did a little bit of studying on sword fighting. And one of the things this guy who's, you know, historian, he said sword fighting is about skill. It's not about brute strength. Yeah, you need to have some strength, but sword fighting is a skill. So that means that someone could actually be stronger than you, but you could win them because you're more skillful with the sword. There are things that you could do that you could just check, 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 and take the sword away from them. And so what he was saying is that you need skill for sword fighting. And when I saw that, I thought, you know what, that's just like how the Christian should be. The problem is, many of God's people lack sword fighting skills. They do not have the ability to actually enter into combat with the enemy, even though they have a sword. See, if a man come in here right now and he knew he had a sword, and I had a sword, but I don't know, I'm finished. I would drop the sword, throw the pulpit at him, fling one of those things like a frisbee, and just think that hopefully I'd hit him on the head or something, knock him out. But I'm not standing there like, on guard! No. On guard by yourself. So we've both got the same weapon, but the skill. See, many, unfortunately, the way that so many Christians are, is that they don't know how to use the word of God. They don't know how to use their sword. I guarantee, and it's just a sad statistic, there are people in this church right now that you do not know how to use the word of God. You know, they say, and I don't know if they still say it, what you don't know can't hurt you. You heard that? It's a lie. If you put poison in a glass and I don't know it, it's still going to poison me. It's a lie. What you don't know can hurt you. Can hurt you a lot. If you do not know the word of God, it will hurt you in war, in battles, in conflict, in the front of your enemy. See, why? Why is it that many do not have the skill with the sword? First thing is very simple. Many don't read it. If you don't read your word, you'll never know how to use the sword. You got to read it. How many, you know, don't put up your hand, but I want you to think about it. You know, how many people, you don't read your word every day? You don't read your Bible. Listen, this is not a condemnation message. I'm not trying to condemn, you know, anybody here. But conviction needs to rest where it needs to rest. Is that you're going through things. Oh, this is hard, that's hard, this is hard, I'm being beat down. Let me call this person, let me text this person. What about your word? Have you read your word today? Have you read your word today? Do you have a daily diet of the word of God? Oh, every day, boss? Yes, every day. You eat every day, don't you? Some of you, you know you eat every day. Yeah, you wouldn't miss a day without eating, man. When we say, let's fast. Yeah, this is too radical, man. It's too radical, fasting. We eat every day. We should read our Bible every day. If you don't read it, you know, because if you don't read it, then you don't know it. You don't know the word. Can I say, I was went on outreach yesterday, and I was witnessing to two young guys, and they came up to me. Oh, no, I came up to them. They were young. They looked like they were probably 13. And he said to them, I said, oh, no, we're not into that. I said, you don't even know what it is. He said, no, now we know what it is. We're Muslims. I said, oh, you're Muslim. How long have you been a Muslim? I said, why did you become a Muslim? Oh, someone told me about something. I said, so do you believe that the Quran is inspired by God? Yes. So why? Oh, because they told me. Oh yeah, and the Bible's been changed. I said, okay, tell me what's been changed in the Bible. Tell me one thing that's been changed in the Bible. Oh, I'm not too sure about that. I said, what about, you know, passages in the Quran where they call it abrogation, when Muhammad kind of contradicted himself. One minute he's talking about peace, next minute he's talking about war. When he never had it, in his early days he never really had an army, he's talking about peace. Then when he gets a following, he's talking about war. What about those things, abrogation? How do you process that? Oh, I haven't seen that. I said, so really what you're saying is, I said, if I showed you in the Quran where things were wrong, would you believe me? He said, no. Huh? I said, you're telling me you're a Muslim. You don't even know why you are one. I said, okay, we was outside JD's right on the corner. I said, listen, if I was outside JD's and I had the most expensive pair of Air Jordans in a bag, and I said, these Air Jordans, they're worth, I don't know, £500, some sort of crazy amount of money, give me £100 and I'll give them to you, but don't look in the bag. Would you do it? He said, no. I said, you're holding onto a bag and you don't even know what's in it. And you're going to die and stand before God because someone told you. Because let me tell you this, church, I am not a Christian because somebody told me. Someone told me about Jesus, yes, and then I had to come and look at it for myself. I had to go to the Word of God and find out for myself, because my soul depends on this. I do not want to die and enter into eternity. Hi, I'm here. And he's like, yeah, you didn't do what I said. Huh? But I did what the pastor told me to do. No, I never told you to follow no pastor. I told you to follow my word. That's what I told you to do. Listen, I'm not telling everyone to be rebellious. Pastor, we don't want to listen to you. Then go on with your rebel self. But what am I saying is this, is that my ministry, all I am is an arrow pointing to the word of God. Week after week, I will tell you, go to the word of God. Go to the word of God. This is what it says in the word of God. Is the word of, Pastor, you preach this? Where is that in the word of God? Pastor, we do this as a church. Where is that in the word of God? That is what we build the whole ministry on. That is the whole purpose of the church. That is the whole purpose of being a Christian and being in life. It's the word of God. And if you don't read it, then you ain't gonna know it. And you're not gonna know what's in it. If you don't read it, you won't know it. And you surely won't believe it. Remember, we're talking about having swordsmanship skills, being able to defeat the enemy with the word of God, the sword of the spirit. If you do not read it, you will not know it. So sad when many Christians do not know their Bible. And you'll never believe it. This is why you believe the lies of the world. This is why the world can tell you things and you just believe it. And you know, and you'll never know how to use it. And so without the word of God, you're defenseless, man. The enemy just roll up on you and slap you all the way out of church. Slap you out of church. Just slap you. Let's shut up. And that's it. We don't see you for a few weeks. That's what it is. That's how it rolls. That will just slap you, man. You're like, yeah, I'm going to live for God. That will just give me that. Living for God. Shut up. Sit down when I'm ready to. That's how it is. Purity. Devil will rob you of it. Your faith. The devil's going to rob you. This is why you see people come into church and they're like this. Up and down. Up and down. Up and down. People, Pastor, I'm trying to work with this person, but they're not getting it. Listen. What we need to do is give them the word. That's what you need. You need a steady diet of the word of God. The word of God is what you need. We can redesign the church. We can have flashing lights. We can have bigger screens. I can step up here and be in a fashionable tracksuit. And oh yeah, now we're going to really. No. What we need is the word of God. That's what you need. You need the word of God. That's what they always had. This is what the Bible is saying. And until people understand that, you're going to always end up as a victim. You know, there's this thing, I don't know if you've ever seen it, called the changing of the guard. And what this is you go up to near Buckingham Palace or Westminster, you have these soldiers. You know what I'm talking about now? And they got the black trousers on and the red jacket and that big bear hat. I don't know, big bushy hat. I don't know what that hat is about. I was going to try and study. I ain't got time. So so they wear that big hat and they just stand still. And sometimes what they do to change of the guard is when they change, they march out in front, and some of them, they'll have a sword in front of them, just like holding up a sword like that, and they go in front of each other, and they salute, and they do something, and then they turn around, and, it's a ceremony. And I'm not against it. I think, I kind of like little ceremonies that we have in our country. They're kind of novel, funny, but, I guess they bring some tourists here, amen, help the economy. So I'm not against it, but what I'm saying is the sword that they carry, it's not for battle. It's for show. Because that person is actually a soldier. They're not like someone that they hired. It's not like Madame Tussauds, you hire people, or London Dungeon to dress up. Those people are actually soldiers. They had to train and get to that point. And so these are real soldiers, but the sword that they're carrying is for show. It's not for battle. If tomorrow there's a war and they attack the UK, those soldiers are not going to be running into battle with those swords. So when they do all of that with their sword, it's for show, not for battle. Unfortunately, the church has become a little bit like this. Is that the sword is no longer for battle. It's for showing off. And what it is that we use our Bible knowledge, our little bit of Bible knowledge, whatever Bible knowledge that is, and we use it to look spiritual. We use it. How are you doing? I'm too blessed to be stressed. And, all these little idioms and things that we do, and we want to look spiritual when we pray, and to sound more spiritual. Or to get a ministry. I'm going to do this and look like this so they'll give me ministry. But the whole time, the word of God that you're claiming that you have is not for war. It's for show. It's a show. It's become a show. What you're doing is a show. It's like changing of the guard. Church becomes a show. You bring it out. Pull out your sword out of the, from your waist. You show everybody. Ooh, wow. Ah, look at this sword. Look at his sword. And so this is how you use the word of God. You quote the word of God and say the word of God. But really, all you're doing is showing a sword. From time to time, what you do is you swing it around. Oh, look how she knows her Bible. Look how he knows the scriptures. Did you know in Leviticus it mentions 12 times? Did you know the cross reference? That word is in Galatians and that. Wow. You talk about the sword. This sword is a meter long. This sword is 30 millimeters wide. This sword is, and you know everything about the sword, to the metal composite, to the material. In your sword, there may be jewels encrusted in the hilt. The handle is wrapped with the finest leather. On your belt, it's there. You know everything. So you've got a sword, you pull it out, you play with it, you impress us with it, you wave it in the air at church, at Bible study, at fellowships. People, look at that brother, look at that sister. You know it. Did you know the sword was invented in the... No, I didn't know that. But when you enter into a battle, your battle, what you struggle with, you drop it and run. Huh? Hold up. You that was swinging it, you that was talking about the length and the width and the weight. That when you enter into a battle, you drop it. When you needed it the most. See, a sword is not for showing off. A sword is for battle. The sword is no good until you, when you enter it. Listen, a sword is no good. Let's be real. The sword is no good till your enemies felt it. The sword is no good until your enemy, it's got some blood on it. There's some people, their sword ain't got no blood on it. Not the enemy's blood. When you enter into a battle, you totally forget the word of God. Before your battle, we could talk to you about the word of God. Oh, yeah, I know this, yeah, I know that. Enter into a battle. What people will say to me many times is, I know that. Like, hey. No. What you need to do is this. Do this. Yeah, I know that. No, what you're saying is, I know what the sword can do, but I just don't use it. Knowing it and using it is two different things. Showing off a sword. Do you know what? This is what so much of the church has become. Sword show. Even the swords are just, we all bring out our swords. We're all impressed. Look at those swords. But there's not one drop of blood on any of them. No personal victory. No testimony. When the enemy came in, this is what he felt. When he came close to me, I pulled it out. Listen to what he says in the Bible. James 1 verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer. You hear the word, you hear it preached or you read it, but not a doer. He is like a man who observes his natural face in the mirror, and for he observes himself, goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. It's like me looking in the mirror. Then I walk away and you say, Pastor, do you have a beard or not? You just looked in the mirror. Have you ever done something like this? Have you ever done this? I've done it. Have you ever looked at your watch and then someone said, what was the time? And you went, but you just looked at your watch. Have you ever done that? You know what that is? It's because really, when you looked at your watch, you wasn't really taking it in. That must be what it was. It was just an instinct. It was a reflex. You didn't really take it in. And that's how we can be with the word of God. But then when you get into a battle, it's like it's gone straight out of your mind. One of the biggest tricks of the enemy is to knock the sword out of your hand. He wants to knock it out of your hand. In the same scripture that I read, James 1, he says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, say continue in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this will be blessed. This one will be blessed in whatever he does, he'll be blessed. This is powerful. If anyone among you thinks his religion, meaning his relationship with God, is religious, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. What it's saying is that if you're reading the Bible and the Bible is not changing you, then what you're doing is useless. Is it changing you? You've always got to realize that the word of God is to give you the victory in your battle. See, every single one of us have got a battle right now. I'm going through battles, you're going through battles. We've all got a battle. We've all got a battle we're going through. We've all got an enemy. There's every single one of us here, there is an enemy trying to push you back. But God has given you the word of God to use. It's a sword. It's time for you to pull out your sword. It's time for you to draw swords. It's time for you to unsheath that thing. See, you could enter into a battle of temptation. All the time you're swinging your sword around, and then you enter into a battle of temptation. Do you drop it and run? What do you do? Well, you use your sword. How do you use your sword? Simple. You're in a battle of temptation, pull out your sword. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. When you're in a battle of temptation, don't drop your sword, pull it out. Read this scripture. See, this is what we're talking about. That there are many people here, you go through battles of temptation, but you've never read that scripture, or you've never highlighted it. Some of you even know it. When I was reading it, you was like, I already know that. But don't you see, you never use it. You never use that scripture. This is what you need to be meditating on. If you say to me, Pastor, I'm going through it right now, it's difficult. You should know this scripture off by heart. You should memorize this. If you're going through a battle of temptation, this is what you need. That God is saying, listen, I'm going to bring you through. Maybe you're battling with fear. Isaiah 43 verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. This is fear starts to flood into your mind about your future and your life. Okay, there's a big enemy. 12-foot fear. All you feel is the shadow of it. Don't turn your back and run. It'll throw one fireball at you, man. You've got to pull out your word. You need to go to Isaiah 43 and say, listen, fear, God is with me. He told me not to fear. You're cutting him down. I can go through the waters and he's with me. I will not drown. I can go through the fire. Some of you right now, you might feel like you're going through fire. You may feel like you're drowning. You may feel like your life is out of control and you're overwhelmed. What you need to do is pull out the word of God. What about when you're hopeless? I've never felt hopeless. Felt like you're in a hopeless situation. You'll know this one. This is an easy one. Romans 8 verse 28. And we know all things work together for the good. To those who love God. To those who are called according to his purpose. You lost the job? All things work together for the good. The doctor said you're sick? All things work together for the good. Doesn't matter what you're going through right now. You got to pull out the sword. The devil said, don't pull that thing out. It doesn't. That thing doesn't work. It will work. It will work. You pull that thing out. See, the devil's lying to you. That don't work. If it don't work, then feel this. If it don't work, feel that. And you start cutting and stabbing the enemy. See, what I'm saying here, church, is that the only way that I've made it to stay saved and to live for God this long is through the word of God. I do not have any, you know, sometimes I talk to people, I say, look, you just got to do this, do that. Pastor, it's so easy for you. Oh, thanks. It's really easy for me. Like I'm from the planet, Pastor. Like, you know, they ordered me off of eBay. Pastor Peter, I came in the box, he opened the box, pulled off the wrapper, and I was here. Send him to Wandsworth. No. The same battle, same things. Oh, but you're this radical bastard. No, I just carry the word of God with me. I just build my life. I use the word of God. This word is dangerous against hell. You need to be armed and dangerous with the word of God. This is why I love the word of God. I read it daily. I memorize it. When I start to feel depressed, I bring it out. Listen, I just speak to myself, speak to my spirit, speak to my soul. When people tell me, oh, that won't work, I just say, the word of God says it will work. I just speak the word of God. This is the weapon. People are, oh, how do I get ahead? How do I? The word of God. And the devil has lied to the church. Where the devil is like, oh, it's just words. It's just a book. No. This thing has power. This thing is sharper. This thing will do damage against hell. When you have the word of God, you can speak into your poverty. Some of you suffer. Suffer. Devil just robbing you, man. Soon as you get one, it just everything. Any blessing, it's like it's always wrong. The word of God. The word of God. There are people here. There are some people here. You're saved. You love God, but you're not happy. You come to church, but you're not happy. You're not happy. Can I say to you, the church cannot make you happy. Can I tell you that? We cannot make you happy. We cannot make you happy. You know, I try my best to do minister the best I can, tell a few jokes. You know, give you the word of God. I want you to enjoy Sunday. You know, it's like game day. Let's just have a good time. Amen. In the house of God. But I can't make you happy. It's the word of God. Some people, they don't know how to get the victory over their weakness. They just can't get the victory over their weakness. And they don't even know how. The Bible says very simply. You read it. It says, how will a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed unto your word. It's the word. The word of God is supernatural. When you, the things that you can't do, fill yourself with the word of God and you will start doing what you said you could never do. The danger is that we don't give people the word. What we do is we give them gimmicks. We give them entertainment. We give them temporal things. You know what it is? It's like eating crisps. I mean, no, crisps don't fill you up. I like crisps. As you can see. I like crisps. You know, you get different flavors. You act like you don't like crisps or you never seen crisps. Come on, man. I like crisps. You have that salt and vinegar. No, you don't like that? I like those. See, cheesy people here, man. Cheese and onion. That's right. You eat your cheese and onion and you come up in the house of God talking to them. Hey, how you doing? Praise God. I am a friend of God. Shake your people's hands. Hey. No, I like cheese and onion as well. Just got to get some mints with those babies, man. But how many know those things don't fill you up? If you get a packet of crisps and you just squash it, yeah, and you just crush it into, it would fill like that much. That's really all that's going to fill your belly. But if you get some rice and some meat, I remember, you know, some guys, you like meat, isn't it? Meat. Amen. Come on. None of you men say nothing, man. Come on. Fola. He likes meat. Fola likes meat. Hey, one time we went to Nando's. I said, what do you want? He says, whole chicken. I said, what? No rice? Nope. No chips? Nope. No drink? Nope. That was his vegetable. That was his rice. That was his car. There's a whole chicken. Hey, but that's because that's what, yeah, it fills you up. See, listen, the crisps tantalize your taste buds. But the food fills your belly. Pastor, where are we going with this? Okay, let me explain. Much of what people do in church is just crisps. We're just giving them crisps. Oh, we want to have fun. I want to have fun. I want to do this, Pastor. I want crisps. Listen. What you need is the word of God. You need something to go in your mouth and boom, hit your belly. Because in a battle, can I tell you, listen, if you live on crisps, you'll be malnutritioned. There are men here. Never had a father teach you what it is to be a man. You struggle with your value as a man. Feel demasculated sometimes, insecure, confused. This world is a very confusing place for a young man. Let me say that now, ladies, it's a very confusing place. It's harsh on a woman, very harsh, this world. Women get abused and the way they're treated is very harsh. It's very confusing for a man. One minute, should I be tough? Should I be gentle? If I'm, no, you're a brute. Oh, I should be, What you need is the word of God. You need to give yourself to the word of God, man. Man of God, consume the word of God. It will help you as a husband. It will help you as a father. It will help you as a minister. When I'm confused about situations, I just got to go to the word of God. It has never let me down. It has never, listen, church, this word is so close to my heart because the word of God has never let me down. And one thing I would say that has helped me is that when I got saved, there are many mistakes I've made, many things that I've done wrong, many things my days. I cannot tell you all the madness I've done. But one thing I would say that I give to my credit that the Spirit of God has helped me with is when I got saved, I started to read the Word of God. And if you've been saved in this church for 6 months or more and you do not read the Word of God, you are no more than the devil's puppet. He will use you and abuse you. And really and truly, the clock is ticking. If today you do not change, you are on your way out. Because you will not make it without the word of God. You cannot make it without the word of God. Pastor, that's too harsh. If I said to you, listen, some of you, you've not been eating for a week. If you don't start eating, you'll die. Would that be harsh? That's truth. If you go to the doctors and the doctor says, listen, you're not healthy, man. You need to start drinking more water. You need to start living. Is that bad? No, that's truth. The word of God. Let me close. I said there'd be another weapon. The other weapon is, he calls it all prayer. If you do not pray, you will lose the battle. Just listen, if you do not pray, the word of God and prayer. Some of you don't realize prayer is a weapon. Prayer is a weapon. The Christian that doesn't pray is like a gun without bullets. A gun without bullets. You could turn it around, get the handle, buck someone on the head with it. You could do a limited amount of damage with it. But how many know you put some bullets in that baby? You're going to hurt somebody. And one of the sermons, I spoke about that machine. Remember that gun we saw in the video? Imagine that with no bullets. Just spinning. That's the Christian without prayer. That's what you're doing. You're spinning. You look good. The gun looks good. The gun is made of a material which is like man-made. It's super light. It can go here. It can go there. It's very efficient. It's electric. It does. Oh yeah, wonderful, wonderful. Looks good, but there's no rounds in it. Remember we said it could spit like 3,000 rounds a minute, 50 bullets a second. But take, if there's no bullets in it, it's good for nothing. The Christian that doesn't pray is good for nothing. You're good. You look good. You sound good. Oh, Pastor, I don't smoke. I don't rave. I don't drink anymore. Wonderful. That's good. But if you don't pray, you'll just look good, but you do no good. The pastor that does not pray and does not encourage his church to pray is no good. It's no good. You could preach the best sermons. If you do not pray as a pastor, you're not a man of prayer, you do no good. Many of you will know, you'll call me up, you'll ask me, Pastor, I'm going through this, and the pastor's there to give wise counsel. The Bible speaks about in a multitude of counsel, there's wisdom. And so we understand that you speak for counsel. And then many times, what will I say to you? Pray. Now pray. And some people have said, Pastor, you always just say pray. Listen, a pastor that don't tell you to pray, he ain't worth, he's no good. It's no good. Because prayer is where a Christian that prays is where it really does damage. A pastor that prays. Okay, ladies, let me tell you this now. Those of you single ladies. A husband that don't pray ain't no good. Oh no, but he's got a six pack. The devil is not scared of a six pack. Devil's not scared of a six pack. Did you know that? You're going through spiritual warfare. Devil, oh no! It's a six pack. No? Does he pray? You need a man that prays, man. Because when you get into an argument and there's beef, because there is going to be some problems, does he pray or does he say? You need a man that will pray. Be like, listen. This argument is getting too heated. We need to pray. There are times, not many times, but there has been times. My wife, listen, I need to go pray. Sometimes, you need a man of God. Listen, husband, if you don't pray, you ain't no good. You're a gun without bullets. Bro, does she pray? You know, so many times men are looking for the wrong things. You're looking, hey. I know you've been saying, no, I don't. Come on. No. It's just, it was Jesus came down and told me, that's what, okay. Before church, is she up in the prayer room? No, you want someone that comes late because they'd spend all their time on there. That's the one I want. Okay, go. Trouble. What about the ones up in the prayer room? Because if she's not praying when she's single, who told you she's going to pray when she gets married to you? See, one thing I like is this, is that I have a wife that prays. My wife prays. She prays for me. Not prays on me. Some women pray on their husband, not pray for them. Swoop down. Pray on the guy. Nagging him and... Don't you just pray on the brother? You don't clean the house. You don't give him no loving. You don't cook for him. You don't... And you still don't pray. Like, come on. If you don't do all those three things, at least you could pray. I thank God my wife is prayer. One time I got a word, and the word was, listen, you're doing well, God loves you, and you have a woman that prays for you. God actually gave me a word. So listen, the reason why, don't get it twisted, is because she's praying for you. It's almost like God is like, listen, you're a knucklehead. But I'm going to work with you because she's praying for you. Think about it. What about a church that don't pray? Church that don't pray, how are we going to do this? We ain't going to do no damage in Wandsworth. The enemy is robbing people. The enemy is robbing women of their purity. Women are walking around giving themselves to men all the time. Someone told me the other day they was on an outreach and it was in Winstanley and there was some young girl there and I think it was Kuti was telling me and some guy was like, come in here, get in here now. He's talking to her like she was a dog. Like, get here, come here. Like she was a dog. Listen, if that was my daughter. Is he a dog? But where? Because you know why many of these young girls, they don't have no father. That's why a man can speak to a woman like that. That's why a man can speak to a woman like that, because she ain't got no dad. And we live in an area where men are going to prison and people are dying and, you know, there's no hope, man. But if we ain't praying, can I say there are demons and devils and principalities and powers hovering over this area where God has planted this church. And what God expects us to do is to come in like a huddle. Like when you play rugby, they do the sport and then they come and they huddle. Okay, what are we going to do? Every Sunday, every Wednesday, we come together and huddle. And then we go, huh? And then we go out. That's what we're doing, trying to rescue people. That's what we're doing. It's war. But you know what some people are doing? They're out just posing. The whole week just posing, worried about the world, what they can get in the world, what the world thinks of them, how trendy they are. Are they up to date with the latest fashion? Or people are going to hell around you. A church that doesn't pray. What about ministers that don't pray? That you're in ministry, we don't see you in the prayer room. And you have the audacity to want a minister. You're no good. You're no good. You ain't going to do no good. You're a gun without bullets. We don't hate you, we love you, man. But you won't do no damage against the enemy. Let me finish with this. This really is it. Prayer is not your last result. It's not the last thing you go to. Like, I'm going to try this, I'm going to try this, I'm going to try this. Oh, I can't do anything. Let me just pray. That's how we operate in life, isn't it? We try everything ourselves. And then when we can't get ourselves out of it, look, God, help me. Prayer is not your last resort. Prayer is your first assault. Prayer is your first assault. Prayer is what you go for first. Before you do anything, you should cover it in prayer. You're thinking about changing your career? Cover it in prayer. You're thinking about dating? Cover it in prayer. You want to buy a house? Cover it in prayer. You believe God has called you and wants to send you out? Cover it in prayer. Everything should be covered in prayer. Prayer should be the first thing. That's what you should do first, is pray. Look at someone and say, pray. Pray. Look back and say, you too. Listen to what the Bible says. This is Jesus. Matthew 18:18. Assuredly. When Jesus says assuredly, do you know what he's saying? This is the real deal. This will happen. When Jesus says assuredly, he says, be sure of this. This is going to happen. Let there be no debate. Jesus is saying, what I'm about to tell you may sound strange to your carnal physical mind, but this is a spiritual truth that is immovable. It's a spiritual law. I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now we're here on earth now, and the heavens are the airs, the spiritual realm. So he says, when there are people here on earth and they're praying, I come against that spirit of violence in my son's life. I come against that sickness in my dad's life. You are binding. You are coming against. You're saying, this is not going to run. This is not going to run. You're in prayer. You're doing things. He says, be assuredly of this. This is sure. When you do this on earth, something happens in the spiritual realm. That spirit that is influencing that person or that thing or that obstacle in the spiritual realm, God gets involved and starts to push it aside. God starts to destroy it. God starts to crush it. But he says, sometimes you got to lose some things. Some things are tied up. You know, I've been going for job. I'm broke. I'm so broke. It's broke. I need money. The bills, the everything. God, I pray for release of financial resources. I need financial resources. I need resources. Lord, I don't care how you do it, but I need my bills paid. I need my bills paid. I need money. I need to eat. I need something. As you act activate it on earth, the Bible says God in heaven starts to open doors, orchestrate things. You could be walking down the street at a certain time, your stomach fell on the floor, you stopped for a moment, and as you get up, somebody says, hey, I've seen you, long time. Hey, what have you been doing? I've been doing nothing. I need a job. Oh, we're looking for someone with a job. God did it. But if you don't pray, nothing happens. Nothing happens. He says, you've got to instigate it on earth. He says, assuredly. How many know if we believe that, we'd be praying more? Yes. Let's be honest. Come on now. We'd be praying more. If you believe that, you'd be releasing everything. Just release. You're at home crying. You're lonely. No one wants you. You need to start releasing. Release a husband, man. Amen. So God, listen, release a man of God. Why not? Why not? See, the Bible is saying is what we do here in prayer, it releases like an air force in the air, a force where the real battle is. And this is like the imagery. You're going to go into a certain ground and take ground. You're going to go in. And so what you do is, as a soldier, you go into that ground and there's all your enemies there and they start bombing you and blowing you up and you have to retreat. Oh, this is way too much, way too much, way too much. You're defeated, man. You're defeated. You're trying to go in, yeah, into things. What you should have done is this. Get on the radio. Let me call. Hello? Yeah, I'm going into that area. I need you to send in the planes first to drop the bombs. They said, no problem. Roger, out. They fly over. Shh. They send the bombs in. Blows up everything. You love the sound effects, I know. And then afterwards you go in and there's only a few little hangers on. Bang, bang, bang. You deal with them. That is how the Christian should live. Constantly calling in air force. Air force into your life. Air force into your marriage. Air force into your finances. Air force into your ministry. Air force into what you're doing. People are crying, oh, this ministry is so hard. Air force then. Marriage is so, air force. I can't get you. Air force. God has told us assuredly, assuredly, be assured, be reassured. Understand that this is how it works. It's very sad when you see Christians suffering. And you know they don't have to suffer. Oh. And you see prayer and the word neglected. And you see them suffering. But look, see, prayer will always work, church. Romans 10, verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you will call out for assistance, he will help you. He will help you. You need to call out. You need to call out. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.